So now we'll go over to 1 Samuel 30. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive that were therein and slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city. Behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. But now here's the difference between all them and David. David's two wives were taken captive. Now, you need to go back and check out these two women and why they were there, why they were his wives. He rescued one of them out of the hands of a jerk that looked like he's going to beat her to death. And he just rescued her and just took her away and got her out of there. But that's David. David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David had encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, well, now isn't that something? The chaplain was with him. He did not go to war without the chaplain. David inquired himself of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So David brought his chaplain in there, and they got together, and he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, go. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So now we know what's happening here. And David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued with 400 men, for 200 bowed behind, which so faint they could not go over the brook or the river Besor. They found, look now, look. They found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. They gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins or grapes. And when he had eaten, his spirit came into him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water for 3 days and three nights. He was about dead. You can go without food, but you can't go without water. David said, to whom you belong? And where are you? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant of an Amalekite. My master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. He just threw him away. He made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and burned Ziklag with fire. David said to him, can you bring me down to that company? He said, swear unto me by God, you will neither kill me nor deliver me to the hands of my master, and I'll bring you down to this company. He just happened to be there. Yeah, right. And when he had brought him down, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the hand of Judah. David, now listen, David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. Now here is a forced march. If you don't know anything about the military, a forced march is where you don't stop to eat or drink. Whatever you do, because you need to catch up with this bunch. They were on a forced march, and they caught up with them. And then look what happened. Oh, dear Lord. Smote them from twilight evening until the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode on camels. So the cavalry got out and ran off. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. David rescued his two wives. There was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons or daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken. And David recovered all. David took all the flocks and the herds which they drove before the cattle, said, "This is David's spoil." And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint they couldn't go follow David because he had made to abode at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David, to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men, the men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, "Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have been recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart." And David said, "You will not do so, my brethren. With that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand? For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part that goes down to the battle, so shall be his part that stayed by the stuff. They shall part alike." And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance in Israel unto this day. Now, particularly for those of you that haven't seen this demonstration before, let's talk about this place called Besor. Now, 200 men, now they'd been on this forced march. Well, now why were they staying behind? Their food went with them. The cattle, the sheep, everything they had to eat. And these 200 men were responsible for them. So if it took 200 men to be responsible, they had a lot of stuff. Now I want to show you this. It's called a brook in the King James, but I want to show, there it is without any water in it.
Yes.
How would you like to risk all those cattle down inside that?
No.
Well, what about it brings it up, the fact that there was water. There it is. But now look at it after the rainy season. You're not going to risk all your quartermaster. And those guys knew that. They just criping and belly aching because they were ungodly men. Yeah. The scripture calls them wicked men.
Yes.
And David so, but he called them his brethren.
Yes.
Not so. Because those men stayed by. So they share equally. I heard Oral Roberts preach that. And he said, "You're sending me." And that ordinance, God has never changed his mind. He never changes. And this is the reason David was a man after his own heart. Because he used that covenant from the time he saw Goliath. He came up to Saul. He saw he was big and loud as everybody else, and they were all standing by because of his size. He said, "What do I get if I kill him?" "Well, you know, your taxes will be free, and you get the king's daughter." Then Saul said, He's a warrior from his youth. You're just a young lad. He said, "When I was keeping my father's sheep, and a lion came and a bear came, and I killed them both."
Yes.
and I'll kill that uncircumcised Philistine. He said that that bear had no covenant with God, neither did that lion. But I do. And I kill him. You see what he did? He used it. You can use it. Because you have the blood of Jesus. You can plead the blood of Jesus. And he came out in front of him and he said, I come at you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. Yes. He brought the angels into
yes.
it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes.
And wham! Down he went. And then he took out his sword and cut his head off. One translation said, the rock killed him and the sword finished him off. And he took his head. That was his trophy. How big do you think that head was? And there he stands, his teeth, hair, and eyeballs all over the place. And that's what made him king of Israel. Right there. And then he chased the Philistine army back to Goliath's hometown. And you can chase the devil back to his hometown, which is hell. So here we are. Let's go to John 4. John 4:34 Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, to finish his work. You notice he didn't say my work. To finish his work. I love it. Say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, the fields, for they're white already with harvest. He that reapeth receives wages and gathers fruit into the life eternal. Both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor, other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. As a partner of this ministry, you enter into my labor. You enter into Gloria Jean's labor. You enter into Pastor George's labor. You enter into Pastor Terry's labor. Amen. I want to put up Matthew 10, 40 and 41 in the AMPC. We'll just put it up on the screen there. Won't have to get my copy. He who receives and welcomes and accepts you receives and welcomes and accepts me. He who receives and welcomes and accepts me receives and welcomes, accepts him who sent me. He who receives and welcomes and accepts a prophet because he is a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives and welcomes and accepts a righteous man because he's a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now you can see the exchange. Well, I had been up in Hereford, Texas, and praying, and that I was there when I got the plan of victory. This is way back. And I had my outlines. And this is the way I outline. The heading is in blue, and the scriptures are in red. Mm-hmm. Well, I had those laid out like that. I was there 3 weeks. Salvation, baptism of the Holy Spirit, healing, deliverance, all of these different messages. And I was praying in the Spirit, and I got around in front of the bed and I was on my knees, and I was in a hotel, and I had each one of these laid out here. And I said, Lord, should I start out here just in faith, or the new birth or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because I didn't know any of the people. I didn't know who would be coming. And we were going to be there 3 weeks. And it came to me in my spirit. He said, is there victory in the new birth? I said, well, yeah, you become a new creature. And you have victory over death. Is there victory in the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I said, well, yes. And of the miraculous power. And I just went through each one. And I had all of my outlines laid out there. He said, every believer has a voice. Right. And it is the voice of victory if they'll go to my word and preach it and believe it.
Amen.
There's victory in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's victory over death, victory over the grave. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That's where that came from. All those many years ago. And while I was there, and it was there's just a makeshift deal. It was an old, we had two meetings, the first one in Wichita Falls in an abandoned drugstore. And this was one, it wasn't as bad as that first one, but anyway, just a little makeshift platform. And the whole thing wasn't much taller than this. And the doors, if you came in the back of the church, and I'm telling you, they're one of the biggest men I ever saw in my life. And he was frowning. And I said, well, Lord, here he comes. And he walked up there. And I mean, he was about like this to me. And I was standing up here. He said, Ramata. Lulama. Glama. And out the door he went. Well, later he came back around. He said, Copeland, I apologize, man. He said, you preached about tongues, and I didn't believe that. And he said, you preached that Jesus went to hell, and I didn't believe that. And he said, I was really going to ream you out. And he said, God baptized me in the Holy Ghost to keep me from saying ugly things to you. He said, I went back and he said, I couldn't sleep. I got up and went over and he's pastor of a Methodist church. He said, I was an alcoholic truck driver and God got a hold of me and Jesus got a hold of me and delivered me from alcohol and called me to preach. But he said, I thought tongues was done away with. He said, I sure learned better than that. He said, I got over there and got on my knees. I said, Jesus, you go to hell. He said, you better believe it, boy, big buddy. He said, you better believe it, big boy. If if I hadn't, you would have. So he said, I'll come to apologize. Well, that broke the meeting open. But that's where all these things took place. Now there's the book of Philippians. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from the God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, and that's the reason I pray for you all the time. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your partnership. Now in Luke 5:7, your fellowship, that's translated as partner. Now, in Old English, that's what a fellowship was. And it's still a fellowship where more than one get together and do what they could not do. Now, it's also called a team. Team. Together, everyone accomplishes much. We are a team.
Yes. Amen.
Gloria Jean and I are a team.
Amen.
But we are a partner team. And we're doing this together. What I couldn't figure out, what in the world I'm going to do here. And I just kind of said, Lord, what am I going to do? You're telling me to do more than I can do, and I don't have the money. And it came up inside of me. Don't seek ways to get the money in. Seek ways to get the word out, and then the word will come. Yeah. The money will come.
Amen.
So this is ways to get the word out.
Yes.
But I'll come to the close on this. And you continue to read verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I know not. For I'm in a strait between two, having desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all, for your furtherance of joy and faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for my coming to you again. Only let your conversation, your manner of life be as it was becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Yet you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Don't let terrorism get to you. Amen. Second chapter 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. That's who we are. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the 2023 Southwest Believers Convention. Give God praise and glory. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. We ought to be the happiest people on the planet. He gives us all things to enjoy.
You see yourself sad, sick, broke, busted, and we're going to struggle, gloom and despair. No, I see myself blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. Greater is he who's in me than he was in the world. If God be for me, I'm starting to yell it. If God be for me, who can be against me? I say to that mountain, get out of my way. I will not climb you, I will dissolve you.
But what should be happening as these messages preach not just about faith, but in the spirit of faith, as they're hitting our hearts, yes, we get excited, but we should also be doing what? Examining, finding out, okay, am I in faith? Or have I just gotten good at what faith looks like?
If you don't know where else to start, start with this. I'm saved. That's light. You know how the Holy Spirit works. Next thing you know, he takes your mind over here. Come on. Next thing you know, you're going, oh, that's it. But you didn't get there talking about what you don't know.
And when you come here, it's not the same when you watch online. It's not the same when you're on YouTube or wherever you are. When you're here in person, the impactation you get by being in the presence of all the fellow believers like you.
I don't get what you're going through. Keep your joy. Don't fear. Just keep your joy. You might be going through the worst thing in your life, in your family, in your finances. Keep your joy. Because if Satan can't steal your joy, he can't keep your goods.
There has to be a delivery of the word under the prophet's anointing, and it changes things. It changes people. It changes atmospheres. It changes circumstances. What does Isaiah say? It brings mountains down. It brings hills down. It brings the valleys up, and it makes crooked or deceitful places straight.
Some kind of standby power. Now that's the Holy Ghost in people that know what they're doing, they know the Word of God, and they call
call on him, and his standby is more powerful than anything the devil has, any kind of prayer he has, anything he can do, any way he can do it. It just blows him over to the side of the road.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Today is offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Our foundation scripture is found in Galatians 6, 6 through 8, teaching those who have been trained in the word to be generous with those who have trained them, to share the good things that they've learned and experienced. What a person plants, that will be harvest. For the one who plants in response to God allows God's Spirit to do the work in them, with the results of harvesting a good crop in life, both now and eternally. As believers, we are in the world, but we're not of it. Therefore, we belong to God's kingdom that is far above shortages and deficits. His kingdom has an abundant supply of every resource we could ever need. God's unlimited reservoir keeps us fully supplied according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Partners, we speak that word over you and thank you for your faithful giving and support. The Lord called Kenneth and Gloria Copeland more than 55 years ago to preach this uncompromised word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. Together with you and the faithfulness of Jesus, they have been sending the gospel around the world on every available voice. As you sow your financial seed, let me pray for your abundant harvest today. Heavenly Father, you love a cheerful giver, and according to your promise, every good thing that any man does, the same shall be done unto them by the Lord Jesus Christ. On behalf of your anointing, your holy word, and by your Holy Spirit, I declare the blessing over every sower of this broadcast. All sufficiency in all things be made available to them so that they may abound to every good work. I call their due season into manifestation and their harvest abundant in Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer is the foundation of Kenneth Copeland Ministry. If you have prayer requests, call our prayer line. We have licensed prayer ministers who are trained in the Word of God. So when you call, they will pray God's Word over you. So write those scriptures down and continue to declare them over your life. Let the Word encourage you and build your faith and trust in God. Speak the Word only and make it the final authority in your life. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, this is Brother Larry reminding you that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. To give by text, text the letters KCM to 36609.